I was wondering about what I could share with you. We're taking a break for a couple of weeks from 1 Peter, and I wondered what I could share with you, maybe to encourage you as we think about, and we're so thankful for the 9 years, and yet we look at maybe what God has before us, and sometimes it's hard to see what God has before us because there's so much changing in the world. And I've often talked about in recent times, and I do believe that we really are on the verge of the Lord's return. We're in those last days, and you only have to look at everything that's happening in the world. And so as we faithfully await the Lord's return, I also wanted to share something that really, it's a phrase, and I'm going to just preach on one verse this morning. Usually I preach on the passage. I will share some other scriptures. And this phrase I heard years ago in a message, and it sort of stuck in my mind. And then recently I was up with some pastors in Melbourne, shared this verse with them. And I think it really does apply to us, and you might relate to this as well. And it's in the life of Gideon, the story of Gideon. And so I'll just share this. If you do have a Bible, you can go to Judges chapter 8. We will just look at this one verse, but I always want to give it to you in context, so I don't want to rip a verse out of nowhere, so I'll give you a bit of stuff with that. But I think it relates to where many of us are. We look at what we've just seen, and we've had some really great times in this church, ups and downs, and you can see we've had different ministries, youth ministries, children's ministries, different things like that. And we've had some low points as well, and most of the time in our church we live somewhere in between those two. And we continue, and just as God has given us grace for that. But I think this year, and particularly these past couple of years, and I really feel like this year, I'm weary. I don't know about you. I just feel tired, you know, just fatigued. And when we think about that, you know, we know that that's not an uncommon thing. There are people men of God, people in the scriptures that felt weary. And I want to share this verse with you, and then I'll give it in context. Because this is you'll notice the title and the message in the order of service, but this is what I wanted to share, and this is the phrase. And Gideon came over, this is Judges chapter 8, verse 4. And Gideon came to Jordan, and he passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing them. And I want to really preach this morning on this idea of being faint yet pursuing. I think that's where we probably all feel ourselves are, and yet that's what we need to be still pursuing. So let's pray, and then I'll give you some context to that, and maybe something that will help you through the days and the weeks ahead. Lord, we are so thankful again for your bringing us together, and thankful for your amazing grace to us, and we're thankful that you sustain us, and Lord, you've sustained each of us throughout these past couple of years with everything that's going on. And Lord, you sustain this church even through difficult times. And Lord, all glory must go to you, Lord. It's nothing that we have done, although you've used us. But Lord, it's what you're doing in and through us. Lord, this is your church. And as it's your church, you've promised that you will build it. And we've held on to that promise throughout these 9 years. And Lord, we continue to see you doing that. I'm thankful for those who've joined us just in recent times. I'm thankful for those who I know in the past couple of years have trusted in Christ and are continuing on with you. And I pray, Lord, even for those who've been with us in the past and maybe are struggling at this point in time. Maybe some who've moved to other places, we're thankful for them. But others who are weary and maybe not pursuing right now, I pray that you'd encourage them as well. To again continue in a walk with you. But Lord, minister to us today from this verse and from your word, and we ask that, and we'll be thankful for it and give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Faint yet pursuing. Now, I don't have any slides this morning. I just thought I'd share my heart and some things from the word of God. Faint yet pursuing, often how I feel. You know, you feel like just weary. Weary from everything. And this was the case with Gideon. Now, to give you a bit of context of the story of Gideon, if you've read the Old Testament, you may well know the book of Judges. The book of Judges is an interesting book in that it really covers some of the darkest time in Israel's history. It was a time when they'd come into the promised land, things were good for a while, Joshua, of course, was alive. He led them. And then after Joshua died, they kind of went off on their own way. And they really gave off from following the Lord. And the whole book of Judges is this cycle again and again. And I think there's 15 judges, but I think there's about 8 or 9 or 10 different cycles in here that we see of Israel sinning, going after false gods, going after their own ways, and then they fall into really, I guess, chastisement from God. They you know, get enemies come to attack them. They cry out to God. God sends a judge. He's not a king. It's just someone to deliver them from the predicament they're in, from this. And then they come back to the Lord, and it's good for a while, and then they go back again. And you kind of go, why did they do that? Well, you know, often people can be like that in their Christian lives, and I can relate to that completely. Times when you're closer to the Lord, times when you perhaps walk away from the Lord. And Gideon was called by God in one of these times where the Midianites, there was this group, huge army that were coming, and they were just invading. They were taking all the crops. They were burning the crops. They were really keeping Israel, you know, just in destitution and fear and all of those things. And Gideon's hiding away. And God, the angel of the Lord, comes to Gideon and says, mighty man of valor, you know, you're going to deliver them. And he's like, who, me? You know, he said, I'm the least of the tribes, and I'm the least of the families of the tribes, and I'm this little. He says, you know, how can I do that? And he said, well, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to take you, and I'm going to use you. And so Gideon was weak in himself. He was weak in his faith too. And a couple of times he says, God, just, you know, show me a sign. I'll put out a fleece. I'll do this. You know, that he needed. He just wouldn't trust God straight out from his word. He wanted this. And yet God met him in all of that. And God used him to deliver the nation of Israel from the hand of the Midianites. And he called for an army. An army of 32,000 came. God said, too big. Send some home. He said, all of you who are afraid, go home. I think there was 10,000 left after that. And then he said, still too big. Have them drink at the brook. And the ones that drank a certain way, he says, so that broke it down to 300. And he said, right, 300. Now, you're going to take on 135,000 people with 300. Wow. And the reason he did that is because everyone would know it would be God's victory, not Gideon's, not their victory. And so just armed with some clay jars and torches, you know the story, God used them to gain this huge victory, and the Midianites even really turned on each other. But they defeated the Midianites. Now, there was some 15,000 left. The 120,000 of them or so were killed in this initial victory, this battle, and then there's these 15,000 left. And you'd be kind of led to go, well, look, near enough, good enough, we'll let them go. But no, God wanted them to complete the work. And they then set off after these 15,000 and the kings, Zebah and Zalmunna, and they are pursuing them. And this is where we find this passage. They're pursuing them. Gideon and his 300 men are continuing on with the work. God's called them to, in their weakness, to a mighty work. And now we find they're weary. And as they're weary, we also notice that they come to their fellow countrymen, to the tribe of Ephraim. Ephraim just criticised them. You know, why didn't you call us to help us? They come to the men of Succoth and said, we're hungry, give us some food. They said, no, we're not giving you any food. And so here they are, they're faint, they're tired, and yet God puts in here that they're pursuing as well. They were pursuing because the work was not completed. And I can kind of relate that a little bit to what God does in all of our lives. He calls us in his weakness, he calls us really in our weakness and our sin, and he accomplishes a mighty thing through us in salvation, but he also has a work for us to do, a work for us to do for him. And I believe that's with this church, is part of that work. And God really, as we've seen through those slides, shows his glory through the work there. But it's also easy to get weary in that work. And I think, like I said, in the last couple of years, most churches have taken a beating with everything that's going on. And some churches right now are trying to pick up the pieces and they're trying to get back and recreate what they had before. And others are just holding on, and yet they're weary. And the idea here is that we still need to pursue. The work is not complete. Now, how do we get weary? Well, this passage shows us one of the ways, and one of the ways we get weary is just through physical activity. You know, when you're busy, when you're racing around, and whether it's you're physically working, whether it's you're driving long trips, whether it's anything else that we're doing in our lives, we can just get worn out sometimes. You know, we're just busy, busy, busy with our lives. And let's face it, the world today is just the pace of things just seems to be picking up. Everything, you know, there's a lot of, I know we had a couple of years where people felt like, oh, we had years off, 2 years off, but we didn't really have 2 years off. I think that was quite stressful. And even though some people didn't have work at that time, other people were working really hard. But, you know, you get to this point when you're just physically exhausted, physically fatigued. And when we get physically fatigued, often we can get emotionally fatigued as well, and even spiritually fatigued. And this, we have to understand, is a normal thing. This is a normal thing for all of us in our weakness, in our human bodies, in our flesh. We get tired. And when we get tired, we get fatigued, but we need to rest. Now, you know, we think of different people through the Bible. David, you know, Gideon here was fighting and he got tired. David with his men, a couple of times we read about that he was physically tired. You know, in fact, with his men, there was times when they just couldn't even cross one of the rivers. I think it's in 2 Kings. Some of them, they just couldn't battle anymore. They were in this fight and they get weary. Elijah, we know, remember the great showdown with the prophets of Baal, and you know that was a great victory there. And often this happens after great victories, and then we find that shortly after that he's tired, and he's not only physically fatigued, he's emotionally fatigued. He says to God, "Just take my life." Even Jesus, now Jesus, of course, being fully God but also fully man, was never weak spiritually, but certainly he was times when he was weak physically. And weak emotionally too. Emotionally probably from the disciples who just kept really not trusting him, and also in the times of the work that he continued to do. And we read about that, times when he is wearied as well. And of course, Paul, the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul as well, a really tireless worker for the Lord. But he talks about in 2 Corinthians times when he says, "I was in weariness and in painfulness often." And, you know, and he says, "in watchings, in hunger and thirst, and even the care of the churches." And so we know there's this physical, you know, time that we can just get physically weary. And that can come from activity, but that can come from sickness as well. And many of you, if you're not going through it right now, have had times of sickness and times of just health issues, particularly in the last year. I've, you know, just had about 5 weeks of getting over pneumonia and flu and things like that. And it does take you down, not just physically, but emotionally. I think a lot of the time we just think that we'll bounce back very quickly. We don't. We need rest. We need good, nutritious food. We need things that will help us to recover. And God wants us to have our rest. He doesn't, you know, sometimes, particularly if you're a very active person, you can think, "Well, I'm being lazy." Well, you can be lazy, don't get me wrong. You can be, you know, just kind of not doing things that you should. But we also need to understand that there are times when we're laid low. And we've been considering a little bit in 1 Peter the idea of suffering. And there's times where just our fatigue is because of suffering. It may be because of something that we've done, maybe because of something else that someone else has done, or maybe something that's just happened to us because of a fallen world. But God will use that suffering in our lives. And I'll share a little bit about that in a moment. As I said, the physical weariness can lead us often to emotional weariness. We can just feel like giving up. We can feel, you know, like it's just too much. And often another way that we can find, you know, ourselves emotionally, drained is when we are emotionally concerned or caring about other people as well. You know, when you have compassion upon others and you're trying to care for them, and they're and you don't have control over what they do, it can be very wearying for you as well. And so these are some of the things that we find. And our weariness, as I said, can leave us discouraged, depressed, or even sometimes distracted. And one of the things that we need to realise as well is, God understands that we get weary, but he doesn't want us to stay weary. Because it's in our weariness, if we stay weary, that we are the most susceptible to the attacks of the enemy. You know, Jesus, of course, the devil came to tempt him during those 40 days when he was in the wilderness. And no doubt it says he was hungry, he was fatigued physically, and the devil came to him. We know that in 1 Peter 5 we're told that the devil is like a roaring lion prowling around seeking who he may devour. And if you know the lions, they're not looking for the fast gazelles or the things that are animals that are running around. They're looking for the ones that are weary, the ones that try to run them down. And that's what Satan does to us as well. And Satan will often try to exploit all that. We have to understand that we have three enemies: the world, our own flesh, our sin nature, and the devil. All of them don't want us to pursue God. They're all against us. And we understand that we're in a battle. You know, Gideon here wasn't just in a physical battle, he was in a spiritual battle. Now, we don't fight like Gideon. We're not called to go out and fight armies and kill off Midianites, but we are in a spiritual battle. You know, the Ephesians tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And we need to understand that battle can weary us if we're not finding our strength in the Lord and we're not trusting in the Lord. And it opens up all sorts of opportunities, for example, just to kind of let go of, just when I say let go, of to get distracted from our walk with the Lord. You know, sometimes when we're in our weariness, it's easy for us to kind of just put off what we call spiritual disciplines. I know it's a battle for you to come to church every Sunday. It's a battle for me to get up and preach. I like doing it. I hope you like coming to church. But we know that the world, the flesh, and the devil don't want us to. And it's very easy for us when we do get weary, and there's times, of course, if you're weary and you're not well, or there's other things that you can't come to church, you can't, those things, we fully understand that. We're not being legalistic here. But I know from my own experience, and I've seen it in other people's lives, that it's very easy to say, well, look, I can't come this week, you know, I'm not well, or something else has come up. And then 1 week becomes 2 weeks, and 2 weeks becomes 3 weeks. And after a while you go, kind of like them, my Sunday morning's back again. Because that's what the flesh does. And, you know, people around you are not going to say, hey, you should be at church. Well, not the world isn't, you know. Hopefully as fellow believers we encourage one another. We're told that we should exhort one another, particularly as we see the day approaching. And, of course, the devil doesn't want us to as well. And sometimes I know for folk, like I said, if you've got a long-term, illness and or various other things and you can't be with us, I understand that. I'm thankful for those that are able then faithfully with us online. But one of the things I guess I realise as well with this is that, you know, I said the devil doesn't want you to follow. And it's not just coming to church. It's reading your Bible. It's prayer. It's any sort of spiritual. It's maybe sharing Christ with others. All those different things, you know, we have our weariness can lead us into this, just neglecting all of those things and letting them off. And what the devil will do often in those things is if maybe you've fallen and you've kind of fallen, you know, in a sense that you're not following those, you're weary, the devil will begin to get you with the guilt, you know. You call yourself a Christian, you know, you haven't been to church for so many weeks, you're not reading your Bible, have you prayed today, you know, and he'll try to condemn you. Well, I want you to know there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You don't need to perform to earn the love and the favour of God. Now, God wants to work in your life. He wants you to follow him. He wants you to continue to allow him to work in your life because he's interested in what is good for you, you know, in what he wants to do in your life. And so these are some of the things we find in weariness, you know, that we can certainly become faint. What do we do when we become faint then? You know, when we do become weary, what do we do? Well, certainly you need You know, if you're physically weary, you need rest and you need food. If you're spiritually weary, you need spiritual food and spiritual rest as well. And our weariness reminds us of our need of the Lord. You know, when you're doing well and everything's fine and everything's going great and you're often in full strength and good health, I'm not saying that it's always the case, but there is the tendency sometimes to kind of rely on your own abilities and your own strength. I've found that often in my own life. And sometimes we are laid low because it reminds us that we can't do it in our own strength. Isaiah chapter 40 reminds us of the one who never gets weary. Isaiah 40:28 says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of earth, fainteth not, neither is weary." He doesn't get weary. There is no searching of his understanding. And then here's God. He never gets weary, but it goes on to say that he gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. What do you do when you're weak, spiritually, physically, emotionally? Go to God. God, I need you. Ask for strength. Even you shall be faint and weary. You know, young people often have a lot more strength, and I wish I was a young person again sometimes, have some of that zeal. But, you know, even they get weary, it says, and young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Doesn't mean that you'll never get, it just means that you'll continue to be strengthened by the Lord. If you find your strength in the Lord, you look to the Lord, he will give you the strength you need. And that strength isn't equal for all of us. For some of you, that's just enough to get up out of bed and do the things that you can do that day. For others, it might be to run so many miles and all of those sorts of things. It's not a competition against each other. But we can look to God and we know that he gives us strength. Our weariness also reminds us that we can come to Jesus Christ and receive the rest that only he can give us. Matthew 11:28-30, you know it. "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden." How many things weigh us down right now? You know, whether it's personal things in your life, relationships, whether it's just illness, whether it's just looking at the whole world and going, where's it all heading? Well, we know that, but it still doesn't take away the fact that so much is going on around us, you can feel overwhelmed. And Jesus says, "Come to me and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." If you understand the picture of that, in the old days, they'd have oxes, and they even do it in other countries today, and they have an ox, and they have this piece of wood that's the yoke, and you would often get a stronger, more experienced ox, and you'd yoke him to the younger one, and the younger ones, you know, and between them is like the stronger one actually takes all the burden. Well, Jesus is saying, yoke yourself to me, and I'm taking all the burden. You know, it's not, as people often think, you know, me and Jesus, you know, God helps those that help themselves. I'm helpless. I need the Lord. And, you know, and Jesus says, come on, come and yoke yourself to me. Come to me. Now, this, of course, is a picture of salvation. And when he was speaking this in Matthew chapter 11, he's speaking to the people of Israel. He's speaking to those people who are so tied up in religion, trying to do all the time to perform to God, for the Lord. And he says, just come to me. Come to me and get the rest that comes from just being joined to be, being in personal relationship with me. But it's the same for our life as well. Our weariness reminds us to remember Christ and all that he has suffered for us. You know, we go through trials. We have times when we're weary, yes, but we need to remember that Jesus is the one that he was tempted on all points. He knows what we're going through, and yet he went through so much more. Hebrews 12:3 says, "Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself." All of these people railing against him. He never did anything wrong. You know, we can't say that. We're sinners. You know, we bring things upon ourselves sometime. But he said, "Consider him that's endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." When we are weary, when we are faint, look to Jesus. Look to Christ. As we find there, you know, let us lay aside every weight of sin that besets us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, we read back there earlier. And of course, then our weariness reminds us that we also have a future reward. Galatians tells us, let us not be weary in well-doing, and we can get weary in well-doing sometimes. You know, I love the Word of God, but sometimes it's hard to preach the Word of God. I love you as the people of God, but sometimes, as we know, it's hard to minister to one another as the people of God. But he's saying, don't be weary in well-doing, because in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Keep looking to the Lord. Keep trusting the Lord. There isn't, you know, if I understand, if this is how it's going to be for the next, you know, so many years that we're here and there's no reward at the end of it, you could feel weary. But we know there's a reward. Of course, we look forward to that reward in anticipation of it. So that's the weariness. What do we do with our weariness? We bring our weariness to God. We lay it at the feet of the cross. We come to Jesus Christ and we say, look, I'm weary. However you are weary, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you, we're told. And we can bring that. Yet, pursuing. So we bring our weariness to the Lord, and yet we need to continue on. To pursue means that we keep walking ahead. We keep moving forward. And I mentioned this last week. You know, the Christian walk is one step after the other. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon in a sense. It's a walk, really. We're just continuing on one step. And for each of us, God calls us to the next step of trusting him. It's very easy for us. And I like looking at all those slides, but it's very easy to look back at the past and just go, well, we had some good times in the past, you know, and to think and live in the past. A lot of churches do that. A lot of churches look back at all the past things. And I think it's, like I said, it's good to think of the legacy of the Lord, but they try to relive the past. And I feel right now with a lot of the stuff that we've been through with COVID and that, it's changed things dramatically in the world. It's changed things dramatically in the churches. And now as we've sort of, in one sense, people are saying, well, we're going back to normal, and we know that's not happening. There's been a fundamental change in the world. We're in these very last of the last days. But it surprises me sometimes how churches are just trying to crank up the old ministry calendar, you know. Well, we're going to do this. We're planning for 2021, 2022, 2023, 2024, and they're already planning ahead. And look, that's fine if you want to plan ahead. I must admit, I've tried that in this church over the 9 years. I've really tried to kind of, you know, plan out the whole year. And I looked back this week at some of my old ministry calendars. I tried to do that. God's really never given me much more than a few months ahead. And that has, you know, in some ways, that's probably hindered us. There's visiting preachers, visiting ministries that they often plan ahead a year. And, you know, when I sort of think I'd be nice to get them in, no, we're already booked out for this year, you know, and that sort of stuff. And so there's been times when that's happened, you know. But I'll just be honest, I've just, you know, and even right now I go, you know, I can see the next few months ahead. I'm just saying, beyond that, Lord, you're just going to have to take us through it. So, and I'm not, that's not disparaging people, you know, again, people who have more planning abilities and have done that. But, you know, it is a walk and we have to trust the Lord. We do need to keep pursuing though. So for us, you know, that might mean, hey, as I said, sometimes it's just, hey, we're going to meet next Sunday and we're going to praise God together. We're going to preach the word and we're going to trust that he's going to come soon, whenever that's going to be. We're looking in anticipation for him. We need to continue the work that the Lord has set before us. We don't work for our salvation, we know that, but God has given us a work to do. And that work is together, collectively as a church, and it's individually in your own lives. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we receive mercy, we faint not. God's given you a work to do. Your work may not be up preaching. If it is, fantastic. Come and talk to me. Be great. but it will be something that glorifies him in your home, in your family, in the sphere of influence that you have, and then also as part of this church. To, you know, God gives gifts to everyone to really for the building up of his church, the body of Christ. we can be assured that whatever work that he's given us to do and whatever work he's doing in us, he's going to complete it. He's completing a work in us, and we need to be faithful to trust him and yield to him in that work. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he has begun a good work in you. He began that at salvation. We'll perform it, we'll continue it till the day of Jesus Christ. So the work in you is continuing, but we can leave off the work for him. The reality is we shouldn't do that. God doesn't want us to do that. We need to pursue, and as I said, we'll only do that in the strength that Christ gives us. We're encouraged to pursue Christ since he first pursued us. Paul, remember, thinking in Philippians, he talks about all the things of the past, all his credentials. And he goes on in Philippians 3:12 to say, not that I've already attained, for either I was already perfect, but I follow after. Paul, like all of us, never arrived. You never arrive and say, here I am, I'm a super Christian, I've got there. We arrive when we go to be with him. That's our glorification. Between now and then, it's up and down and up and down. It's trusting God every step of the day. It's every step of the way, every step of the day. It's following after him. And this is what he says, I'm not perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which I'm apprehended of Christ. We need to understand, he pursued us first. He found us as lost, weak sinners, and he pursued us and he rescued us. And now he continues by the Holy Spirit to pursue us to become more like him. And so it says, I count myself, brethren, not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind. That doesn't mean forgetting all the past, but not trusting in my past, not trusting in even the victories of the past, reaching forward to those things before, I press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what we do. We just keep pressing on. We keep looking to him. And so for you today, you know, for all of us today, that's what we need to do. And we do that individually. We do that collectively as a church. And I was thinking about the churches in Revelation. It was about 3 years ago we did a study of those seven churches, if you remember. And those seven churches were seven real churches at the time that Jesus told John, write these letters to these seven churches. But they're also representative of everything that goes on in those churches goes on today, the churches today. And if we think of those seven churches, there's one church that I think we would really want to be like. Some of them we wouldn't. Many of them we wouldn't want to be like, but there's the Church of Philadelphia. If you read the Church of Philadelphia and the letter that he wrote to them, here's what Jesus said, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. What's that open door? Opportunities for the gospel. It's opportunities to glorify God, to live for him. He says, I've set that before you. But he goes on to say, for thou hast a little strength, but has kept my word and not denied my name. This was a little church. The implication, the little strength, means little in number as well. It's a small church. They're barely hanging on. You know, a lot of people today have this idea, well, the church is going to rise up and we're going to bring the kingdom in. We're not going to bring the kingdom in. The king's going to bring the kingdom in. We're going up to be with him. Now, right now, we're holding on. We're holding fast, and we need to do that. That's what he says. You've kept my word and not denied my name. And he goes on, because you have kept the word of my patience, I'll keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world that will try them that dwell upon the earth. That's what he's going to keep us from. He's keeping us from the 7 years of tribulation. We're out of here soon. We're going to be with him. And he says, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast to what thou hast, that no man take thy crown. What do you have? You have an open door. We don't have to hold on to our salvation because he's holding us. Just remember that. But we have opportunities right now to make Christ known. We have opportunities to glorify him. We have opportunities to live for him. We have opportunities to pursue. Those opportunities will end soon. When we're out of here, we go to be with him. Those opportunities will become new opportunities. We're going to worship and glorify him forever and ever. But right now, we have opportunities to reach others for Christ. And he says, behold, hold fast to that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. The crowns are the rewards. There are rewards for us for being faithful to the Lord. There's rewards for us for just loving his appearing, looking forward to his coming. You know, not being like other people say, oh, yeah, he might come, might be years to go. No, we should be living, longing, loving his appearing. And these are the things that he says, hold on to those things. Don't let go of them. Well, finally, I just want to go back to Gideon for a moment. Because Gideon was faint, yet he pursued. And we think that, you know, that's great. He did. And they got the victory. They actually came and they killed Zebah and Zalmunna, the kings of Midian, finished the work, wiped out all of them, and you'd think, great, the work's done. But sadly, that wasn't where it ended. After that, when we get to the rest of this chapter 8 of Judges, we get down to the point where the men of Israel, and I'll read this to you in verse 22, then the men of Israel said to Gideon, rule thou over us, both thou and thy sons' sons also. Hey, you led us into victory. We want you to be our king. And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. Good so far. But then we read on in the next three verses. It says, and Gideon said unto them, I would desire request that you give me every man the earrings of his prey, of the Midianites. He said, they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. And he answered and said, we will give them. And they spread out a garment and cast into all the earrings of all the Midianites. And the weight of it was, the gold was requested 1,700 shekels of gold. That's a lot of gold. And it says, besides the ornaments and the collars and even the symbols that were chains that were around the camels' necks. These were all pagan stuff, ornaments from gold. And he collected it all. You think, well, that's not good. Well, what did he do with it? He didn't actually spend it all on himself. It says here in verse 27, and Gideon made an ephod thereof. What's an ephod? Ephod was the garment that the priests had. And he made a religious symbol out of it. And it says that he put it in the city, even in Ophrah, where he came from originally. And sadly, it says all Israel went a-whoring after it. And it became a snare unto Gideon and his house. What happened here? Well, as I've read into it and I've studied it, a lot of people have said that Gideon, well-meaning as he was, decided he was going to make this idol, this monument to, some say, the victory that they gained and that they would be reminded of this victory. You think, well, that's a good thing. Some actually say with all that gold, he didn't just make an ephod, he probably made a whole model of the tabernacle, because remember the tabernacle and all the things that were with it and all the implements of it. And the people worship that instead of worshiping God. There's a danger in any church, in any ministry, that you can become enamored with and worship the building, the ministry, the work, the personality, the YouTube channel, whatever it is that you have, and people become so enamored with that and they forget off God. And this was the danger for Gideon. And you know, for us, I'm thankful in some ways that God keeps us small, but we need to be also mindful that even in that we don't get proud. That we don't get proud and say, oh, well, we're just a small church. We're not like those big churches. Big or small, it doesn't matter. What matters is that we faithfully follow the Lord. We're faint right now. I feel like we're faint. Yet we want to keep pursuing, Him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for your word this morning, and there's a reminder that even when we are weary, and I know, Lord, many of us are right now weary, that we would come to you and we would bring our weariness to you and we would gain our strength from you. Lord, we have to just acknowledge right now that we're nothing without you. Lord, without your grace working in our life every day, Lord, we would surely perish. And yet, Lord, we thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you for the strength that you give us. And even when we're physically low, Lord, that you give us rest. And, Lord, of course, the invitation to come to you, to come to your Son for the rest that we really need. And, Lord, I pray that every person here knows that rest that comes from Jesus Christ alone and salvation in him. Lord, as we think about what's ahead, we don't know what is ahead tomorrow in the world, but we do know what we're told will happen, and you will bring us to be with you. And so Lord, whatever time you have us here left, help us to be people that hold fast to what you've given us. Lord, to pursue that open door that you've given us, Lord, even to live for you, to make your gospel of grace known to the people around, that others might come to Christ. And Lord, not to let off on just even the consistent spiritual walk that we have with you through our time together as a church, our time in your word, our time in prayer. Lord, we know these are not activities that are to gain your approval, Lord, rather they're invitations in which we can come to you and know you and grow in you. And so we pray we'd continue in those things. And Lord, for those who are weary and maybe drop the ball, we just ask that you would give them again grace, remind them, Lord, and help them to continue. And really to know that you will continue the work in them until you come. And so, Lord, we look forward to your coming. Help us to be a faithful church. However longer you have us here, Lord, help us just to live to you and you alone. As we say, have on our signs, Christ only always. Lord, may you be first place in everything, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.